time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you on the podcast. We are live from Austin, Texas. It has been a scorcher, triple digits all over the place, but we're glad to have you here with us. We're excited about, again, another podcast, the opportunity to bring you information. But for those of you that are listening on a downloaded basis, important that we tell you it's Monday, July 30th. This is the July 30th podcast. Can't believe we're almost into August and how quickly this year is going. And I hope it's going well for you and your business. There's a lot of shrinkage of margins. We're looking for ways in which we can improve our performance as lenders in the marketplace. In our hot topic segment today, we're going to be talking about artificial intelligence. Very excited about this discussion. It's something that more and more lenders are looking at this, more and more technologists are looking at this. So it's no surprise that Black Knight, being the leader in the technology space for our mortgage industry, has jumped in and has acquired an artificial intelligence company, and we're going to be hearing about it in the Hot Topic segment. So you'll want to stay tuned all the way through, especially to the Hot Topic segment. Again, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we are grateful to have you as our listener. I mean, we've won some awards and that's all great, but the best award we can win to have you as a regular listener. And so many of you are dialed in. We've got Will dialed in again from the Jacksonville area. It always makes me smile. He's one of the first to dial in and listen. And he and literally thousands upon thousands of others are finding this as a very effective way to get updated, timely information of what's going on in the mortgage industry and do so in an audio format that they can listen to anytime and anywhere. Talked a little bit about the Hot Topic segment we got with us today from Black Knight, Rich Gagliano, as well as Sufi Safavi, who is CEO of the company Heavy Water that Black Knight just bought. So we're going to get into a very exciting discussion. Let's talk briefly about our sponsors. So grateful to have all of our sponsors. Of course, Black Knight is the leading provider of integrated software and data analytics solutions. And now with artificial intelligence mixed in, it's a game changer. We also say good things about our good friends, ArchMI, Jim Jump and the team there, David Gansberg and the entire team at ArchMI do a great job of bringing you innovative programs that meet the needs of the borrowers today. Their innovative Rate Start program is one that really helps you keep the premiums low. More's coming out with those guys. They're doing some real good development in the area of that program. In fact, I'm talking to some of the people that they're leaders that are doing innovation inside the company. They've got some things on the drawing board. You want to definitely have a relationship with ArchMI if you do not already have one. Open Mortgage, so glad to have them as our first mortgage company to become sponsor. They're a leading reverse mortgage lender. It's a great home for LOs looking for a good home, for people who care about you and will help you grow your business and your income. And by the way, the reverse mortgage is a great way to do that. Also, CardTap, a complete mobile marketing suite for sales professionals, as well as the newest one we're introducing is the Shuffle app. You got to check this one out. The Shuffle app is a virtual electronic business card. Check out our website. We're getting that information up on our new website. Great solutions for you mortgage professionals out there looking for innovative ways of connecting with people in a more meaningful way. Also, Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative, both of these collaboratives do a great job of connecting lenders and vendors and doing so in an intimate environment. Both Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative have their summer conferences coming up and will be broadcasting next week from the Lenders One Conference, which is the oldest mortgage collaborative in the nation. We'll be broadcasting live from Salt Lake next week. And we're going to be focusing some on M&A next week. Very exciting discussion, especially with all of the M&A going on in this industry right now. Also, a special thank you to Velma, efficient way and platform for you to get your message out. Check them out at Velma.com, as well as Knowledge Coop, as well as Predictive. This one's a new advertiser with artificial intelligence in the area of lead generation. Check them out, Predictive, and it's Predictive. You'll hear about that a little bit later, as well as a special thank you goes out to our regulars, Alice, Joe, Andy, and Alan. Alice is on vacation today, taking some time off. Bill Cosgrove and team have been working here pretty hard. Miss you, Alice, but thanks for the update that you gave me. I'll get into that in just a little bit. Let's head out to the MBA and get an update from Rob Van Raphorst with the MBA Mortgage Minute. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Rob Van Raphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, the House of Representatives passed the National Flood Insurance Program Extension Act of 2018. It would extend the program until November 30th. The current program is set to expire at the end of July. MBA sent a letter to House leadership supporting the bill, and it now heads to the Senate for consideration. Also last week, the Senate Banking Committee held a hearing to consider the nominations of Michael Bright to be president of Ginnie Mae and Ray Oliver to be Inspector General of HUD. And finally last week, FHFA announced that it will no longer issue a final decision regarding an update to the GSE's credit scoring requirements in 2018. Instead, FHFA will implement the regulations from S2155, the recent regulatory relief legislation. Finally, MBA's weekly mortgage application survey showed that the average contract interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage was unchanged from 1 week earlier at 4.77%. Thanks for joining me this week on the Mortgage Minute.
They do a good job. Rob and team do a good job of bringing us that minute. We're very, very grateful for the partnership that we do have with the MBA. If you're not a part of the MBA, get a part of that organization. It is so powerful. You can have your voice heard. But now there's another way you can do that. It's also through Mortgage Action Alliance. Rob touched on it. Sign up. You do not have to be a member of the MBA to be a part of the Mortgage Action Alliance. And it's a very effective way for having your voice heard. Download the app, Mortgage Action Alliance. You can get updates on the bills that are affecting our industry. And you can communicate right from that app about those bills and show support and support what the MBA is doing in their lobbyist efforts. On conferences, I want to let you know I'll be speaking this week in Chandler, Arizona at the Arizona Mortgage Expo. If you're in the area, the conference is actually being held at the White Horse Pass Casino and Resort. And also August 24th, I'll be in Las Vegas speaking at the Originator Connect. If you sign up for that, go to www.originatorconnect.com and use the code LYKKENOC and you can register for free. You get free registration. So there's advantages for being here on the podcast. Also, let's get out to Les Parker. Les and his knowledge about what's going on in macro markets, he shares with us each week. And also, he has a newsletter, and you need to check that out as well. But Les, what do you have for us today?
LoanLogic sponsors TM Spotlight Soundbite. They want to own the slip, word upon your lip, blotter that you rip. Break books down and build books up, whatever it takes, because they love the adrenaline in their veins. The European Central Bank's QE tail covered whatever it takes to a finite end. It broke down books, aka portfolios, while it built its book up. Now they, the European Central Bankers, see foreign investors exiting some of its weakest sovereign debt since the QE juice ends soon. The current unwinding pales to the pre-QE days, but wait for the actual fall of QE. Markets will once again define. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
I'll do what it takes. You know, Gary Cantrobone works with Les on the editing. And so some of the songs Les gets and ties it into the market update, the macro market update, it's really interesting. Where he pulls some of that stuff from? I didn't get that one quite as well, Les, but it's good information. If you want to sign up for his newsletter, please do so. You can go to our website, Transformational Mortgage Solutions, or go to TM Spotlight and also Google that, and Les Parker, you'll see it is there. Also, I want to say a special thank you to Open Mortgage. They do a great job creating a home and environment for lenders, as well as if you're on a wholesale basis brokering loans, especially on the reverse mortgage program. But also, they really are purpose in how they go about selling. And the way they teach it is unique. And Scott Gordon is sharing with us the science of sales. And here's what he has for us this week. Pay attention. I always learn something when Scott gives me some lessons on sales. I thought I knew it well. But listen to this one.
Scott Gordon here with a bit of sales science. Are you an authority figure? Behavioral scientists have discovered that people are much more likely to follow a person who is perceived as an expert. There's an important word you may have missed, perceived. Studies have been conducted to prove it. Physical therapy patients are more likely to exercise if their therapist has their degrees or certificates displayed on their wall. People are likely to pay a stranger for access to a parking spot if the stranger is dressed in a uniform. The therapist's credentials carry an air of expertise, while the parking lot officer is more an authority than an expert. The effect is more powerful when a third person introduces the expert. Even if the third party is directly associated with the expert, it doesn't affect perception. A group of realtors found that having their receptionist list each realtor's accomplishments before transferring customers to the realtor, their business increased drastically, 20% increase in appointments, and 15% increase in signed contracts. So ask yourself, how can I structure my connections and referrals so that I'm introduced as the expert? Instead of giving your cell number to every contact, why not use your receptionist like the realtors? Let him or her introduce your expertise and authority. Or use an answering service. They can talk you up before forwarding your now impressed clients. If this sounds too good to be true, it's not. It's just the science of sales.
Check out their website. Scott Gordon and company do a great job turning out a lot of educational videos. A lot of his competitors head over, and then they eventually go, I'm tired of competing with him. We're just going to join up with him. He's growing like leaps and bounds. So check out openmortgage.com. Thrilled to have them here as a sponsor. Joe Farr, good to have you here. Are you surviving the hot dog days of summer here in Central Texas? It's been warm, bud.
It's been bad. Well, tomorrow we get a break, right?
Yeah, you get a little bit of break. Supposed to get a little rain. Supposed to get down to 98. They call that a break. Yeah, whatever. So what's going on in the markets? Are they pretty hot?
Well, prices are down just a bit today. They're not at their lows. They've improved some since this morning, but a little drop in MBS prices, nothing to be concerned about. The data that came out today wasn't a driver, really. Pending home sales grew at about 9/10 for June. That's a little better than expected. That's up from a fall of 5/10 in May. You know, combining pending home sales with existing home sales, which were off a little bit, new home sales, which were off a whole lot, a bit of concern as to the strength of the market. Inventories remain an issue. One positive note was the Census Department reported late last week that home ownership rate rose in the second quarter to the best level in 4 years. And the nice thing about that was that it was primarily due to an increase in young homeowners. So, you know, the millennials seem to be out and buying.
Yeah, it was a good thing.
So looking at last week, Dave, not a great week for mortgage rates. Yields rose 6 or 7 basis points. The rise occurred mostly on Monday, and as we talked last Monday, some of that had to do with concerns about what the Bank of Japan might do with their monetary policy. Others looked at it as, you know, just maybe a change in the trend of where things were. So that drop in prices, rise in rates, pretty much held throughout the week, despite the fact that there was a lot of stuff going on last week. Reports that U.S. and European Union had agreed to work toward a trade deal caused some movement last week, but not a lot. Missed to the downside for durable orders caused a little reaction. The first look at second quarter GDP, which showed a very strong 4.1% annualized growth rate, caused little reaction. Some of that was that was pretty much as expected, 4.1. Some of it's also that, you know, there's a challenge as to whether or not the 4.1's being affected by things like the front-end loading due to the tariff issues for exports. You know, there was a lot of government spending in the quarter, so a lot of people were saying that's not a sustainable growth rate, but nonetheless, it's a very positive second quarter report. There was good news in the report regarding consumer spending and business investment. Both were drivers of that positive increase in GDP. And then, Dave, looking at this week, there's even more on the calendar this week than what we saw last week. It starts tomorrow with core PCE. That comes out along with consumer confidence for the month. Also, the Bank of Japan is going to let us know what they're going to do. You know, last week it was speculation of what they might do. Well, their meeting concludes tomorrow, and we'll hear from the Bank of Japan if they're making any changes to their monetary policy, especially how much buying of bonds that they're going to do and how they might handle that going forward. In addition, ISM manufacturing and construction spending comes out Wednesday morning. That's ahead of the Fed meeting, which is going to be held on Tuesday, Wednesday, with the statement released at 2 o'clock Eastern time on Wednesday. And then it concludes with non-farm payrolls. That'll be released today, Thursday, Friday morning. 190 or so net new jobs are expected in July. Unemployment rates expected to fall back down below 4%. And average hourly earnings are expected to have grown 2%, which is the same as last month. And then the last economic event, ISM Services, which is a significant event, comes out at 10 o'clock Friday morning. So that's it. It's a big week. Lots of things to pay attention to.
Two questions that came in from listeners. You keep saying PCE. I know what it is, but it's personal consumption expenditures.
It is the measure of inflation. It is the one that the Fed pays most attention to. So with that coming out just ahead of the Fed meeting, it could have a significant effect on, it's not going to change what the Fed does. They're not going to increase interest rates at this meeting, but certainly it could affect how they guide for the future.
Yeah. The other question that came in is, what if the Bank of Japan decides not to be buying any of our MBSs? Are we going to see the Feds jump in? Is that a possibility to see their appetite change?
Japan has, you know, much of their QE has been internal, meaning they've been buying their own debt. So if they drop that, I don't know that it'll spill over a whole lot into the U.S. market. If they were to make no change in policy, we might see a little bit of a reversal of what happened Friday and Monday as far as price changes, and that could be good for mortgage rates.
Lots of questions are coming in today. A lot of people are concerned about that. One of the questions was, the guy wrote back and said, I assume Japan was a big buyer of our mortgage-backed securities. They're one of the buyers, but mostly they're buying their own debt. But China is probably the single biggest buyer of our debt. Is that correct?
I read something recently that, I believe it was Russia, has dropped their holdings of mortgage-backed securities significantly so far this year.
Yeah.
But they weren't big enough to make that big a dent in the market.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, not a big dent. Excellent. Good job. Looking forward to having you on the Hot Topic segment. We are going to be learning a lot today, Joe, about how much of a game changer is artificial intelligence. So looking forward to getting your thoughts as you always add that extra dialogue that's intelligence in the question part. So I'm looking forward to your participation. Folks, we're going to be right back after a brief word from our friends at Knowledge Coop. And Nathan's got a report for us. Nathan, what you got, friend?
At the Knowledge Coop, we work hard to create training that engages and encourages our audience. Once people are engaged in training, they are more likely to stay focused and retain the information that they need to know. So here's your training tip for the week. Next time you have an important policy or bit of knowledge you need to train, do it in short clips and make sure you sprinkle it in with a little bit of humor. Video training is highly impactful, but only when done in the way we've been conditioned through TV. Videos should be no more than 5 minutes, should get to the point, and humor should be sprinkled through to emphasize the important points. Memories are more powerful when attached to an emotion. If you need help with your company's training, please reach out to us at knowledgecoop.com, and we'd be happy to assist. And that's your training minute from the Knowledge Coop, which strives for easy and fun training for the mortgage industry powered by a smart digital platform.
You know, they have many things they do right there at Knowledge Coop, and the way they do the video training is excellent. We're now hearing that videos need to be down to around 2 minutes if you're doing promotional advertising. So I see the ones that are done most effectively are actually under two, and you need a way to deliver that. Check out Vidyard as far as doing it on your system. Vidyard, who's one of our sponsors, but also check out the Shuffle app. It's Shuffle, SHUFFLE.com, and then check it out through our website, as you'll get a discount. If you go there and check it out without going through our website, you don't get the discount, so check it out through us. Very interesting about that. We normally would be going off to Alice Alvey. She is on vacation, not able to join us today. Congress is not in sessions today, and they won't be in session again until September 4th. So not a lot of news going on the legislative front at this point. We'll be stalled in that area. It's really an opportunity for us to talk about the app that the MBA puts out that I encourage you to check out. And that is a part of the Mortgage Action Alliance is what I'm talking about. So check it out. Mortgage Action Alliance. Get their app if you use an iPhone. Is there any other phone out there? I know, sorry for insulting Android users, but check out the MBA's website, download the app. It's available both Android and iPhone. You do not have to be a member of the MBA to join that and have your voice be heard in D.C. It's important that we do that, everybody. Folks, we're going to be right back with the KPI of the week with John Maynell.
Hello, Dave. Thanks very much. Great to be here as always. And this week we have another key performance indicator related to TRID. And the KPI is underwriting to closing days. And like all TRID metrics, the focus is the estimated closing date and how far in advance a file should be submitted to underwriting to make provisions for any and all underwriting eventualities, possibly multiple resubmissions, and leaving enough time after final approval to finish the loan and deliver the closing disclosure on time. A very common practice for lenders that have automated their analytics with mortgage business intelligence like Movation is to have the system automatically send email alerts to participants on those loans that are running late and at risk of missing these milestone deadlines. Now, this allows loan participants to continually reprioritize their workflow to ensure they remain compliant, clearly demonstrating again that what gets measured gets results. And with that, Dave, I will thank you once again and turn it back to you.
Good job, John. He's in the process of recording some new KPIs, and as they are continuing to develop their product, they have come so far since being acquired by Black Knight. So another one of the Black Knight companies that's doing an outstanding job of helping you manage data. Again, stay tuned to the Hot Topic segment. We'll be talking about artificial intelligence and their latest acquisition. Alan Paula, good to have you on the podcast here with us today. And you did a really good job. You received a lot of feedback last week, especially when you touched on machine learning versus artificial intelligence. So what pearls of wisdom do you have for us today on the Tech Report?
Thanks, David. Well, I got to say, I'm going to leave that conversation up for our experts today. I have some other interesting news, but I will tell you, I am super excited to hear all about artificial intelligence and machine learning. So I'm going to keep my content kind of short today. But a couple really, really exciting points. And I say that every week, but they are really exciting. The first one is very interesting survey that was put out by Housing Wire and Maxwell. It's called Most Lenders Struggle to Implement Digital Mortgage Tech in Time. And the recent study shows that 57% of lenders indicate it's taking longer than expected to implement the technologies they need. So I'm going to pause right there for a second. If you remember a lot of past conversations I bring up all the time, you know, what's the ROI? How long is it going to take for somebody to get what they need out of the investment they're making? So 57% say it's taking longer than expected. And that's not even the whole market that's started these digital mortgage efficiencies. So the next part is that 32% said the process was faster than expected. Of that 57%, and 11% said it proceeded more or less as planned. So it sounds very positive, right? But there's some other interesting points to it. If you want to check it out, you want to head over to HousingWire. I can also post a link as we always do. Also very interesting is how many folks don't have a digital strategy. And even though I just gave you the link of where it should go, it was interesting that 14% of mortgage lenders don't have a digital strategy today, and 36% do not even offer a borrower portal of any kind. So if you break the market half and half, it's almost a little over half have started something, and the other half of the market hasn't even started that transformation yet. And 30%, so how long did it take, David? 30% of lenders said it took greater than 6 months to implement their technology. And what's even more unique is that the size of the organization did matter. 35% of companies with 100 to 500 employees said it took more than 6 months, and it took 3 to 6 months from companies with 51 to 100 employees. So it'll be interesting as the industry changes. We're going to hear more about machine learning and artificial intelligence today, which is pretty cool. Also very important to mention is that MSMO has been working hard on new standards, and there's new components or organizations within MSMO that you can take part in. Well, a brand new one sets on B2C standards for borrowers using a smartphone. So they've recognized that borrowers use smartphones. There's different formats of smartphones, right? You have Android, you have Apple, you have tablets. And so what they're also realizing is that JavaScript, sometimes you've heard it referred to as JSON, J-S-O-N. It's more of the technology used in those formats. So they're implementing standards that will help be the business drivers for delivering universal common technical specifications for consumer transactions. They're even talking about possibly putting in there a reference for borrower communications that handle decisioning rules and engineering standards. So that's pretty cool. And I want to leave you on this. If you want to head over, and I'll post this link as well, it's called Home Lending Experience. PwC put this out. They call it Digital Mortgage 2.0, Paradigm Shift in Consumer Experience. They surveyed over 1,500 borrowers, some that are in the process and some that have just completed their process. And what they've said is that digital tools correlating to higher consumer satisfaction are as follows: scheduling communications, saving and planning tools, which, by the way, saving and planning is almost something that we think we don't need anymore today because it's what all those calculators used to be. But I guess borrowers still like it. Mortgage affordability tools falls in that same category. Educational tools about the process, a loan status portal, and application and document submission. Great information at that article. I can post that as well They make a list of six items. I'm not going to go through them right now, but they talk about where the trend needs to go. I want to save some time for our guest today, David. So with that, I would say that is today's technology.
Good job. Yeah, you'll be posted. We'll have that link posted in your show notes from today. And then also, you're really good about posting out about the podcast on LinkedIn. If you're not connected with Alan Pollock, do so on LinkedIn because he is one active poster and puts a lot of good stuff up. Thanks, Alan. Appreciate it so much being here with us and giving us update and participating here in the Hot Topic. We're going to be right back after a brief word from our friend at ArchMI, Jim Jump. What you got for us, friend?
ArchMI is happy to be a proud sponsor of the program. Today, I'd like to let your listeners know about RateStar from Arch Mortgage Insurance. RateStar makes it easy to choose what type of mortgage insurance coverage your loan needs. Quotes are delivered in seconds and represent our most competitive ArchMI rates based on the strength and quality of the loan application. That's the power of RateStar. Getting a mortgage insurance quote has never been so powerful or so simple. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, David.
Good job. Appreciate it, Jim, very much. Getting some text messages in. Looking, have you had enough coffee today? I love the feedback from you all, the listeners. It's so good. Andy Shell, you're kind of like our audio engineer. Am I sounding like I'm doing okay? We did get in from my 50th class reunion, Andy, in Minnesota, and I was up there. When I go to Minnesota, I almost get back into the talking like a Norwegian, like I was.
Sounds great.
And it's so funny, but they lost our luggage. It's still not here, and we're stressing because we're flying out again on Wednesday for another series of meetings. So anyway, it's good to have you here.
Oh,
Andy,
I'm sorry to hear that.
What you got for us, Andy?
Two quick points. So we wrapped up our servicing webinar, went very well, lots of interest. And just as a quick reference point, as of today, we're seeing MSR values are continuing to climb. Ginnie and conventional both are going up. What's interesting, though, is FHA values for MSRs are starting to go down a little bit, and that's because of higher delinquency rates in the VA pools. But that's the servicing update. So now, last week, I kind of teed up a discussion around the leadership secrets of Gilligan's Island. So I was going to run through that real quick. So why do we even care? So first off, it's how to achieve success. That's what we want to do. The whole point of talking about any of this is how to make our businesses better. It's not just some random stats. It's stuff that you take home and you put to work right away. So part of it is around organizational design, organizational structure, and a lot of it is around how to get staff to be happy and do their job well. So that's where the leadership part comes in. So the an examination of the leadership secrets of Gilligan Island is based around an application of the scientific method leadership and behavioral sciences to identify structure. So as you know, Dave calls me the proper doctor. I'm working on my PhD in business. And so part of the PhD stuff is it's all about, like Scott Gordon mentioned at the beginning of the show, behavioral sciences. So PhDs run around figuring stuff out all the time, and then they come up with these names for things, and they've come up with names like situational leadership and contingency theory and transformational leadership and all these different words. So there's like 200 different definitions of leadership. So what I did was I kind of went back a little bit and distilled it down to like 10 groups, and then from there broke it down to like two basic camps of leadership. And a great example of this is in Gilligan's Island. So those two basic camps are traits of the leader versus the situation in which the group finds themselves. So the traits of a leader are like the personality. That's the be tall, strong, bold, good-looking, inspirational, and persuasive. And for those of you who don't know, I just described Dave Licken. So that's what Dave Licken is. You know, tall, strong, good-looking, bold, inspirational, and persuasive. So that's why he is automatically a leader, because he has these traits. But there's also situational theory, which says that the traits of the leader don't matter at all. All that matters is the group's needs, not the leader's traits.
That's
so we end up with this two camps, traits and situation. So in Gilligan's Island is about some folks that went out on a cruise one afternoon, a three-hour cruise out of Hawaii, and they got stranded on a deserted island, and there was seven people on the ship. There was the captain of the boat, captain of the yacht. His name's the skipper. There's a scientist who they call the professor. There's a movie star and a farm girl and a rich guy and his wife and the first mate of the boat who always keeps getting into trouble, and that guy's Gilligan. So the captain of the boat automatically has a position of authority because it's called, well, they call it legitimate authority, but it's positional authority because he's the captain of the boat, Is he in charge of the island? Well, if you watch the episode, not really. The skipper of the boat is not really in charge, because it kind of boils down to who is able to meet the needs of the group. So this is actually leaning towards situational theory, because the guy who can build a radio out of coconuts, well, that's the professor. The guy who can identify poisonous plants or how to get food, well, that's the professor. The guy that can help figure out how to get them off the island, well, that's the professor. The guy who the group turns to for advice, anytime the group has to make a big decision, they go to the professor. So really, while they're on the island, situational theory has surfaced, and traits don't even matter, knowledge matters. The ability to solve the group's problems has surfaced. So the professor is the leader while they're on the island. And the professor is quiet. He never yells at Gilligan, never hits Gilligan. He's very structured, very logical, has a solutions approach. He is not the traits of a leader, but he is the leader on the island. Now, once they get rescued, it's, you know, game over. It's a different circumstance now. So once they're off the island, now it probably reverts back to skipper being in charge, or maybe the rich guy buys the boat company and then he's in charge. But nevertheless, the point of it is, it's about how to best get things done in your organization. So we want to be inspirational to get staff to accept change. We want to have structure so that they know what to implement and when. So what this tells us, the truth of the matter is, it's not either one, and it's both. So we don't ignore personality, because that's an important element. We also don't ignore dynamics of the situation, because that's an important element. You got to put them both together. So we have to correlate trait and situation together, and that's actually called contingency theory. So there's, like I said, 200 definitions: transformational, transactional, charismatic, servant, transformed, leader. Actually, that's a new one that's just coming out. But also the thing that's new is collective leadership, self-directed teams, leaderless groups. This is the new thing. This is actually very popular in the software industry. We'll see how it comes across in the mortgage arena, but fundamentally, there you go. We got to be able, as a leader, to be fair. That's called equivalency. We want to be fair, bring order, structure, and communication so that we align everybody to achieve organizational objectives. So very simple stuff about leadership. So there you go, Dave. If someone wants to learn more about this, actually wants to dig into the theory behind stuff, there's a book called Bass and Stodgill's Handbook of Leadership. Bernard Bass wrote it in 1990. He's a famous academician on this stuff. But anyway, if you ever want to take a deep, deep theoretical dive into the behavioral science around this stuff, Bass and Stodgill's Handbook of Leadership.
Yes. Send that link so we can get that in the show notes. We actually have several people just request that. So I'd love to get that link. As we get more into complexities of systems and management of our industry, there's some good material there. I got a feeling we're going to be learning a lot as you get your doctoral degree here in business. Very exciting. Very good.
Thanks, Dave.
Appreciate it, Andy. You bet. Well, folks, we're going to be right back with the Hot Topic segment right after this brief break and a word from our sponsor, which just happens to be Black Knight. We'll be right back.
Mid-market lenders, credit unions, and regional banks often face time and cost constraints when it comes to implementing new technology. The good news is, you don't have to settle for less than the best when selecting a loan origination system. Black Knight is a leading mortgage technology provider and offers an option to install its state-of-the-art Empower LOS in less than 6 months through its Empower Now program. With shorter timelines and lower implementation costs, you can have Empower up and running quickly, so you can begin originating more loans. Empower Now is a faster, more cost-effective implementation approach designed specifically for mid-tier financial institutions. With its configurable workflow and business process automation, Empower scales as your loan volume increases, meaning you don't have to change your LOS as your operations grow. Learn more about this game-changing approach to your LOS at blackknightinc.com.
Check it out. Some powerful technology there. And Alan was talking about the time it takes to get some of these, the survey that's coming out to get some of these implemented. I tell you, it's really important that you have a right team behind you to get this implemented. And we're excited to have a part on our podcast today, Rich Gagliano, who is president of the Loan Origination Technologies there, as well as the CEO of the recently acquired company. And the CEO is Sufi Safavi. It's good to have both of you here with us.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it. Rich, you're well known to the industry, and we're going to be getting into talking about artificial intelligence, machine learning, neural networks, and a bunch of really exciting developments that are going on. And as a leader in this industry, we look a lot to what is going on at Black Knight. And Rich, you made a very exciting acquisition, and I want to get into that.
Yeah.
So if you with that, yeah, why don't you introduce Sufi, and let's go from there.
Sure. So thanks, David, and thanks for having us. Yeah, so, you know, from an artificial intelligence perspective, you know, this has been over a two-year journey for us at Black Knight with myself and the team. We do have highly automated business process automation capabilities prior to the acquisition, but what we found was with all of the capabilities we had, we still had some gaps that we wanted to fill that really the only answer was going to be something around the artificial intelligence space. And so we went down a path of working with a lot of, you know, the known entities in the space and, you know, developing, you know, Black Knight's really bottoms-up approach to artificial intelligence and had made a lot of progress and worked with a lot of interesting folks in the AI space and along came Sufi, Ava. Ava is our artificial intelligence virtual assistant, and she's a she. And the rest of the Heavy Water team, probably a little over a year ago now. And what was interesting to us versus some of the other solutions we were looking at was that Ava and the Heavy Water team was, you know, focused on really just the mortgage space. You know, these are mortgage experts, and we'll let Sufi introduce himself, but he's got a tremendous amount of experience in the mortgage space. But, you know, these guys had a lot of focus on the areas that we were interested in with machine learning and deep learning and the neural network. So they were already out there doing some interesting things and solving real problems and use cases that we were looking to do. And, you know, over time, as we were working on some proof of concepts together, we were able to come together. We felt like, and I think Sufi would agree, that the power that Black Knight has with its data and really the power and the transformational capabilities that Ava is going to bring to us in the industry was just so compelling that, you know, we worked together towards an acquisition and couldn't be any more excited about it. You know, Sufi and the team have, you know, are well integrated into the artificial intelligence space. You know, we're and he's a part of the National Science Foundation and a couple of consortiums. We work with some of the major universities in the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area. Anyway, just the absolute right opportunity for us, and couldn't have been more excited with Sufi and the team. And anyway, probably talk too much. I'll probably let Sufi talk about you know, where his background and what he's been doing.
Yeah, one of the things that came in, were just Sufi, just before we go there, we got two questions that just came from listeners that's directed towards Rich. So this will be somewhat interactive as I'm reading our questions to come in. One of the questions that came in is, Rich, how many companies did you look at? Was a lot of them? And I'm sure we're going to get insights from Sufi as to why you bought Heavy Water. But did you really check the field out, or was there a relationship or logical reason why you kind of went this route right out of the gate?
Yeah, we checked the field out, and without, you know, with NDAs, we you know, we partnered with all the major providers, and obviously, as being part of Black Knight, we're fortunate enough to get opportunities to work closely with really some terrific minds in this space. But quite honestly, you know, they have all the domain knowledge of artificial intelligence. The challenge, you know, from my perspective, was they did not understand our space, whereas Sufi and the Heavy Water team have, you know, that is their space, that was their space, and is continue to be their space. And for us, and Sufi will talk a little bit more about the technology, but absolutely was just the perfect fit for us, and glad to have it. And we really believe it's moved our process and our development along probably by, you know, 2.5 to 3 years. So we're, like I said, super excited about it. Yep.
Sufi, that's a great introduction to you. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, Rich. Thanks, David, for having us in the great intro. So the concept of AI is not new, and I started in that field close to what they call the second AI winter. Believe it or not, artificial intelligence has already two winters, and we're in the third spring. One was originally in actually the early 80s, and it was centered in Japan, that there actually a lot of investment in kind of getting artificial intelligence ingrained in the industries. And the next one was actually in mid-90s. And some of the effect of that we saw in our industry, the original automated underwriting concept was ingrained in knowledge-based application, which is actually a subset of artificial intelligence. And the recent basically movement on the AI is really due to the two factors. Number one is, you know, ultimately the commoditization of actually compute power using cloud technology. And number two is actually the explosion of data. What's make artificial intelligence different than actually any other technology? In any other technology, you program the computer. In artificial intelligence, you show the computers. And it's important that actually what you show, which is your data, it has enough depth and basically information so you can actually train the computers to do the things that is needed. So my background was originally in aerospace. I actually part of the projects that they were doing testing on the door latches for the Challenger spacecraft. And as part of the kind of the second AI revolution, I got pulled in to the financial industry late 90s. And I've been part of a lot of actually technology implementation. And my background is in actually machine learning and AI, but until recently, I could not really bring those capability into the industry. But I think this is the time. This is the time that finally we're going to see computers along the way of actually human resources as digital workers. They're going to start allowing us to offload things that is hard to do, but it does not require what humans unique, which is empathy and creativity. Cognition is something the computer has. Computer hasn't developed right now emotion and actually creativity. And the new movement of AI is allowing us to be able to kind of offset majority of these repetitive and redundant tasks that we have and kind of focus the human resources in things that it matters, which is the things with a lot of actually empathy and creativity required.
I think that's really fascinating. And Rich, when we've all heard about artificial intelligence, at least we're hearing more and more about it, but Sufi just brought up something that's really important, and it's about machine learning and AI, and sometimes those terms are used interchangeably. Could you bring our audience up to speed on those differences?
Yeah, they're definitely the two kind of buzzwords. I mean, you'll have deep learning as well. But, you know, I think about AI as kind of the overarching umbrella concept of machines being able to carry out tasks in a way that we would consider being smart. You know, think about it that way. And then I think about machine learning as a subset of AI, as I do deep learning and with neural networks. And machine learning, it's where the machine is ingesting information and data, and it's learning, as opposed to taking and programming the machine for it to understand. So it's about the machine actually taking the data inputs and then understanding and learning over time. Does that make sense?
Well, that does. And that kind of we could dive into that. There's whole seminars on this, on the separating these out. But what you're saying is AI is overarching on all of this. And so we're going to see more of the reference of what's going on in this space as artificial intelligence. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think so. Supi, do you agree with that? I mean, it really is. The AI is kind of the broad. And this, you know, what we're talking about and what Black Knight's focused on isn't the scary, you know, sci-fi movie stuff that we're seeing, or some of even the, you know, some of these scary articles that you're reading about where, you know, AI is going to be taken over. And they call that general AI or singularity. We're talking about is virtual assistants that is all about operational efficiencies and helping lenders reduce costs and being more efficient.
Yeah, I think Rich actually had a good definition. You know, ultimately, when you're trying to bring AI to a domain that is already data-centric, those techniques called machine learning. Yeah. There is a lot of actually other areas that actually cognition is required. You have cognitive psychology, you have brain science, you have basically computer vision, that your beginning is not really an environment that is actually represented in data. That's the general AI, and the subset that the raw material is already basically data is machine learning. And, you know, fortunately, we are in the industry that, you know, we're not really building anything. There's no objects. Our product and raw material is data. So majority of the actually techniques that it's leveraged in financial industry and specifically mortgage are the algorithms and actually the developments that is flagged as machine learning. And then I think as we are bridging into devices that they talk and communicate and conversational capability, then they're actually bring a little bit of an AI flavor into that. But machine learning is where you begin by data and you end by data.
Well, Rich runs the origination side of this. And Rich, am I correct that you acquired Heavywater because of what it can bring through AI to the loan origination process? Is that correct?
Initially, we absolutely view this as an enterprise solution. So we will absolutely, and we already are working on really across all of our businesses. So we are focused today and on this conversation about servicing. We actually do have, originations, but we do have skills already today in the servicing area. And we do view this as something we'll see, and I know we had a Movation advertisement there earlier, but predictive analytics will be in the servicing space. There won't be an area within Black Knight that we don't touch with artificial intelligence.
So let's get into a little bit of Black Knight's plans for the transformational and transformative technology that you're introducing. I think this acquisition really signaled to me that you guys are, in spite of being one of the largest technology fintech companies in the world, at least in the mortgage space, as it relates to mortgage space, you are really doing some innovative things. So what is Black Knight's plans for transformational technology, Rich?
The key areas, you know, on the origination side are around the operational efficiencies and what Ava is going to be able to bring there. And that's really the piece that we've been interested in over the past couple of years is how to go solve that. You know, we have some use cases that we're working with clients and that already exist and that she does today where we're taking and reducing the operational time to do an analysis or an evaluation on a particular skill, you know, down 75%. So we're definitely talking about some significant lifts. You know, primarily we're focusing on right now a couple of areas around the operation side. So, you know, processing, closing, underwriting in particular are some of the key areas. But really she will and can touch all the areas of the origination process, as well as the servicing, and like I said, we're looking at predictive analytics with Movation and the Motivity tool as well.
Oh, the combination of the two is just going to be, it's so exciting, the possibilities of what this could mean. You brought up earlier, Rich, that it's an enterprise solution. Is this going to work across all channels for all companies of all sizes eventually? What's your plans on how you're going to be bringing this to market?
Sure. So that's a great question. So yes, we are. Right now we've got integration projects going on with our LLS solution. So we have Empower, our lending space solution, which is a standalone correspondent solution, and then we have a lead management component. And all those are getting integrated. So within our suite of products, we'll have those integrations. We may see and are working with some clients that may not be using one of the origination products today, but certainly will be integrating to Ava for some of these skills as well. But we view it as really, you know, we're working with all of our clients, all of our clients are running into the same cost challenges on the cost per loan. I'm sure you've had different segments on that over the past, and it is significant and it is impactful. And you know, thankfully, we've been able to push down some of those costs with the capabilities we have today. But we really do believe with AVA, we're going to continue to see that. It really would apply to all lenders are dealing with the same cost challenges, and all lenders would be able to benefit from it.
Right. It's not only just cost, but it is velocity, the rate at which you can do these processes. And while you can outsource to an offshore and outsource some of these tasks, it's not going to if you're just using the, I refer to the carbon-based systems as humans, you're still not going to have the velocity. And I think that's where AVA can come in and be such a powerful tool. Sufi, when it comes to the capabilities of this system and what it can do, give us some insights. And several people have asked questions that said, how did you go from working on the shuttle program to mortgage? They'd love to get some insights in your transition. It sounds like it's something you've been doing for a while. So if you could mix that into your response about where you see these capabilities going in-house.
Definitely. It was the transition. It was at the time that actually there was a big movement of implementing knowledge-based and rule-based application and implementation of Reedy algorithm and some of the older actually AI techniques like forward chaining and so on and so forth, that they were looking for experts, but they didn't exist in actually the mortgage industry, and they started bringing from outside. And that I stayed in the mortgage industry, so in part of the J.P. Morgan Chase, I was the CTO at Radian. But it's an interesting paradigm. So the way we are looking at AVA, we are trying to actually get AVA to have an overall capability to read and comprehend the mortgage content. The same way that actually when you put the document, a piece of information in front of the actually mortgage expert, the neurons in their brain is actually create a level of comprehension that now you can actually go and ask question or get that expert to do things, verify things, compare things, calculate things. And that's the approach that we have taken with AVA. AVA is actually gaining a general understanding of the mortgage lexicon at any shape and form that is actually exists. And we are building what we call the conclusion layer that allows us to teach semantic reasoning to be able to answer a specific question. For example, give AVA ability to read bank statements and then ask questions that, is there any notable transaction on this bank statement? What bank statement is actually missing? Do we have any type of anomaly in terms of who owns the bank account versus actually what's on the loan application? How many bank accounts is there? What corresponding month they're in? What's the balance? And all of that is basically coming from AVA, read and comprehend and actually that bank statements or, you know, multiple bank statements and answer all those questions. And answer questions that actually it's typically the human job to go and find the duplicate actually bank statement. AVA has the ability by actually doing these type of comparison. And now take that example and apply it to appraisal, apply it to actually 1003, apply it to actually comparison of the LE and CD, which the activities that they're human doing as part of the post-closing or pre-closing. One of the things is to basically do a comparison between all the versions of the CD and the LE and see if there is no major anomaly in actually a representation of fees. This is a skill that AVA is learning and be able to do that on behalf of actually human with one interesting differentiator. AVA has the ability to actually retain and physically connect this data forever, which means if you come back and ask AVA, how did you arrive at this conclusion? AVA can go and pull up that document, pull up that transaction, and highlight it for you and say, these are the three pieces of information that I use to be able to calculate this conclusion. So that revolutionized the way we actually even do QC, because QC is due to the lack of retaining information that ultimately someone else has to go and rebuild that actually, that semantic network, that cognition, to be able to just say, yes, the underwriter took the right step. If that stays as data in the system and it can be recreated in real time, you know, ultimately it changes the way we even validate transactions and ultimately ship that data to actually servicing platform and some of the downstream processes.
That is so fascinating. People that are listening to this are always saying, does this mean my job as an underwriter is over? The answer is no. It's just what you can do and how fast you can do it. But Alan, jump on in.
First, gentlemen, great to chat with you and very, I would almost say, inspiring probably to many folks in our industry what you're doing and the excitement you have around talking about it. So thanks for that. David, what you just mentioned a moment ago, you know, what artificial intelligence, machine learning, and all this great automation, what it brings is it brings a deeper detail of the data in the transaction, which allows for exception-based processing. Right?
Yes.
So that's the question I'll have for you. You know, I'm sure you're probably going to say, hey, we're thinking the same thing. But, you know, exception-based processing, and then once you have more data, more automation, right, I'm sure you're going to start seeing people, they want to expand their products. They want to expand how they lend today because there's more guarantee or certainty in what they're doing. So I'll turn that over to you, but appreciate you being on today.
Yeah, I think Alan was spot on, and you made a comment earlier about offshore, and, you know, it's about quality. It's about turning things quicker with confidence. This is not about eliminating jobs and those kinds of things. It's about creating that assistant that's sitting right next to you that's giving you cues that says, hey, you may want to look at this now versus later and those kinds of things. And we do think of her as an assistant, you know, a processing assistant, an underwriting assistant, closing. You think about the QA piece, and Alan touched on that too, is, you know, from a quality perspective, why would you look at 10% of your population, you know, for cost purposes? Why wouldn't you look at 100% and then go flag those things that may be irregular? We don't view that as an issue when you're using our products because we'll be doing that along the way with Ava. But if you're not using our system and using Ava with your homegrown solution, you know, there's opportunities there regardless of looking for the anomalies and focusing on those as opposed to doing a random 10% and those kinds of things. So we really view as a key, you know, value point with Ava.
The concept, and this is not the first time in history we actually see a level of progress that it might actually seem threatening. This happened in the Industrial Revolution, you know, from the one or two masons in each neighborhood, we went to factory and actually workers that they were in thousands. So I don't really see that as something that it's going to actually put people out of jobs. It's going to elevate them into the roles that they cannot even imagine. They move from doing the work to ultimately be in charge of robots, be the teacher of the virtual assistant, and that's how their actually job going to shift. To comment on the data as part of the AI and Ava's philosophy, we believe in this notion of what we call data to the power of data. Ultimately, when Ava works, we actually produce more data about the data than the data itself. And that creates dimensions of visibility, angles of actually cognition that we never, ever actually seen. And now you bring some of the unsupervised learning capability that Ava has. Now you're talking about pattern recognition to be able to actually new ways of managing risk and new ways of creating products that are ultimately going to serve the consumers a lot better than what you're doing right now.
I like that. Data to the power of data. That's good. I like that. Andy Schell. What's your thoughts on that?
Hey, Dave. Hi, guys. That's kind of like the Googleplex thing, right? I guess I'm wondering about bringing it home to where we all live. You already talked about instead of doing the work, we're going to program the robots to do the work for us. So what I was wondering, though, is given the potential of Ava and the ability to do stuff and analyze stuff and probably even talk to customers about stuff, how do we get to the licensing requirements of a computer to talk to a customer about mortgage things?
Rich?
Yeah, so this is specific to you know, how we communicate via bots and those kinds of things?
No, so we do the analysis and we say, hey, we need a new bank statement. So we as Ava contact the computer and say, please send us a new bank statement. That's an interface with a customer.
Mm-hmm.
The regulations say that you have to be licensed to have that conversation. So how do we someday get to the point of having a computer with a lending license to talk to a customer?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I don't have the answer on that. I do think, though, today that, you know, we see where conditions are automatically generated based on rules and those kinds of things that get published to a portal that says we need this, this, and this. And, you know, we have clients that will go and update, you know, or upload documents, for example, give me your pay stubs, and they do that upload. I do see, and we do intend to interact there at some point, where as you're uploading those documents that we're doing, Sufi calls it AI on the edge, and we're literally interacting and evaluating, interrogating those pay stubs or those bank statements and saying, nope, you're supposed to give us two. We only see one. You have a duplicate here, and the same thing on the pay stubs, so that there will be some of that, you know, interaction going on. But ultimately, we view all that as, you know, an assistant to, you know, that processor, right, or closer or that underwriter. We really don't see her, at least in the near future, you know, taking over the operation process or, you know, that processor's role. There, you know, those, you know, my view has been it should allow that processor to give, you know, better quality of service and be able to spend more time in conversation with the customer and those kinds of things, as opposed to, you know, today. I think, and I've run operation shops and in my past, and, you know, it's from one file to the next, and, you know, we think this will give, you know, a better, you know, quality customer care.
Yeah, it's good. And Sufi, one thing you brought up earlier that I think is such an important part for those that are listening to this and going, oh my God, my job's going to be gone. This could take you. Ava's taken over. That's not true, because what you brought up was probably one of the most important points, Sufi, and that was we bring the emotional component. The humans, we're bringing AI to bring us, accelerate the process and bring accuracy, so we're greater compliance, all the things that that intelligence, artificial intelligence, can bring to us. But it cannot bring the emotional component. And I thought that was so good that you brought that up and as a distinction.
That is absolutely the case. The empathy and creativity to this state remains to be the differentiator between human and actually robots. And we've seen that in our industry, close industry. When ATMs, they started, they said that's the death to the retail banking.
Yeah.
There were more individuals working in the retail banks than ever before per capita. And they have moved into basically roles that they sell. They have moved to roles that they provide customer service despite that level of actually automation. The same trend will exist in our industry.
I think it's fascinating to see what it can bring to help us do a better job and do it much more accurately and compliant. Joe, you've been in the industry a long, long time as I have been. What's your thoughts?
I'm wondering, is Ava different for Company A than for Company B, or is it all further commoditization of, you know, the mortgage origination process?
It's a great question. The answer is no. This is exactly like the human expert. So the human expert, when you actually do an underwriting for Company A, their aspect of your knowledge and cognition is common. There are some rules, there are some procedures that might be different from Company A to Company B that you need to learn and get used to. But understanding bank statements, understanding appraisals, and be able to actually answer questions, they're very common. And one of the capabilities of Ava is the ability to retain that knowledge and be able to apply it to different implementation of Ava. So while we are actually keeping the customer data segregated and separate in our implementation, the AVA's knowledge that represent in these AI models, it's something that is actually shared, and that allows for the actually acceleration in learning one time and actually go and execute it thousands of times. And that brings the efficiency and ability to actually, as Rich mentioned, to be able to introduce a lot more cost reduction and actually a lot expedited in terms of the actual implementation.
That's really good. That is the point right there. That is the power of what artificial intelligence can do. And it's so exciting to see what's being developed here with AVA. And we're having so many questions come in from originators and companies out of companies. Some of those are clients that are so excited about this and what it can do, because they've been concerned. One particular originator that I have here is the president of a company, and he says, I am not crazy. You've never been crazy about business process outsourcing, but this tool gets me excited because it accomplishes two things. Not only does it bring the intelligence, lowers my cost, but it really brings about the cognitive layer. Is that what you referred to it as, Sufi? The cognitive layer?
The cognitive layer.
We're getting a lot of questions around that, what that means. We've run out of time, which means, you know what that means? Sufi, we got to have you back, both you and Rich, back to talk about this, to really kind of expand. I mean, it's an education. This is a concept, and there's so much education of our industry about the potential of this. It's no surprise, Rich, that Black Knight, being the leader that they are, have been the first to really step into this in such a way and really be bringing this. I am very excited about what this is going to do, especially for Empower and the whole origination process and how it can go across all of Black Knight's products and bring a tremendous lift to our industry. Congratulations on this acquisition.
Thank you, David. Yeah, we absolutely believe this is transformational, you know, for Black Knight, but more importantly, our industry. We've seen what artificial intelligence has been able to do in the healthcare. If you're following some of the amazing things with cancer identification and all that, you know, for whatever reason, our space has been a bit of a laggard, and we just believe it's time for us to, in our industry, to get a little more caught up and a little more progressive and innovative around, you know, how we make and take all the friction out of the origination process and make it, it's always going to be a stressful thing for folks to apply for an application and for the American dream and all that. But we absolutely have a lot of work to do to make that process a lot more seamless and make it more effective and less painful for our customers.
And to your point, Sufi, the more we can do that with greater consistency in what we represent and what we're going out to customers with as a result of AVA, I think is just brilliant. So, Sufi, thank you so much for being here. Rich, thank you so much for being on the program. Congratulations to both of you, and thank you for joining us here today.
But thank you. Thanks for having us.
Next week, we're going to be broadcasting live from the Lenders One Conference. We're going to be talking about mergers and acquisitions, a big topic out there going on. So tune in next week. And again, we're going to have, all these people, all of you that are asking questions, they're coming in like a flood right now. We're going to have Sufi back, and we're going to be talking more about this in the future. Have a great week, everybody. Talk with you soon.
You've been listening to Licken on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Licken of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.